I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My name's Jake, and I found a bunch of pornographic magazines inside a dead man's house. Not just any old magazines, Australian softcore pornography from the early 90s. Now, me and my little mate Pete want to invite you to have a look at some pretty rude stuff with us. So hold on to your stiffies, everyone, and welcome to Smut Club 1990. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Smut Club 1990, the only podcast where we peruse 1990s Australian pornography. My name's Jake Smith, and I'm joined in the shed at the back of my dad's house by my little mate from a few grades below. It's bloody Peter James. How are you, buddy?
Jake, I am really, really good, mate. I'm so excited to be back here with you in the shed. And we were just talking about this before. Where we're recording right now, it is at Good Chat Comedy Club, but yes, there's an event on in the actual club space where we would normally record.
A non-comedy event.
Non-comedy event, which is sacrilege, in my opinion.
I'm very upset about it.
But, so we've gone out the back, and where we are is probably the closest thing to an actual shed we've ever recorded in.
Yep.
It's so tiny, cramped little office space out the back of Good Chat Comedy Club. Fucking hot. But
real steamy.
And only going to get hotter.
Yeah. The rickety floorboards, that's good. There's
the perfect amount of office chairs. We're just sitting in an office chair.
There's exposed brick over there, a bunch of wires. That's not safe. And then
CCTV.
CCTV.
So just in case the magazine's not horny enough. See some hoodlums on the street. But it's great to be back, mate. I'm really excited for this week's episode because we have another special guest in the shed. We haven't had guest for a couple of weeks, and it's exciting to return to our little...
It's also only been 1 week. But that's such an insult to Frankie and Kel. Like, well, we haven't had a guest.
We haven't had a guest for a couple of weeks. Because we didn't have one last week, and that would imply that this week is the weekend. And then last week was the weekend we didn't have a guest, and then we had a guest the weekend before. So that would be 2 weeks, you fucking idiot.
Starting
you don't deserve to look at the magazine.
Starting with semantics, all right.
But we got a special guest.
Nice
the first guest we've ever had on the show. ladies and gentlemen, please welcome into the shed, Stiffy out and all, Jack Druce. How you doing, man?
I'm doing so good. This is an honor to be in the shed. This is such a... The setting is exactly right for this. Like, if someone walked in now without any context of what we're doing, I think they would guess we were talking about crook pornos from the 90s. Like, it would be the assumption.
We're in the staff room of Good Chat, where the actual bar staff go. And I walked in, the assistant venue manager was like, "Hey, don't worry about that. You can have the office." It was very kind.
Yeah.
But I would hate to be one of the poor 19-year-old bartenders that work here, come and open up and go, "I'm just going to put my bag in." Oh, yeah. Jake's recording something about porn.
Yeah, I was trying to find the staff room, found the stiff room.
you come back to the manager really indignant, like, "Look, we're trying to record our porno podcast. We've got people coming in here. What kind of operation are you running, all right?
Yeah, this is a workplace. Let us read our porn.
We're professional comedians trying to talk about pornos. Get your shit together, guys."
It is so funny that this is such a lovely, welcoming venue for us, but it's like the amount of shit they have to put up with. Well, I'm like, "Oh, we're just going to go down and record our little podcast downstairs," like garnering them no money.
Yeah. Also coming into like their space and then walking out just before we start to go, "Hey, can we have 3 free beers, please?"
Yeah.
"We're about to record a porno podcast in your area."
Yeah, in your staff room, and we're going to drink in there. "Don't come in."
So yeah, take your break on the street, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I was considering recording this on the street if we couldn't get the staff room. I just thought that'd be really funny in Caxton Street while there's a Reds game on, us just thumbing through a porno.
God,
the authentic Brisbane experience, just screaming about porno. That's
definitely for the Patreon, I think. That's where you get two guests. You get the comedian guest and the guy that's just walked up from the Caxton that calls you a cunt halfway through.
I'm trying to investigate this fucking...
thank
Christ.
2 minutes in and we are all fucking...
If there's a slight hum, listeners, that's the aircon that I've just found and you can just deal with it. Sweating bullets.
So, we're going to dive into another week of fucking real crook reading again this week. But something we've started doing, I should stop saying something we've started doing, because now at this point it's been like over half the episodes we've been doing this. But something we do at the start of every episode is we ask the guest what your first interaction or experience with pornography was, whether it be print or digital.
Doesn't have to be a wank. Ideally, it's the pre-wank.
If it's not a wank, tell us about a wank. Yeah, sure. Just afterwards, if you could. A recent one.
Yeah,
first time you ever had a dealing with pornography.
I feel like... I mean, it's not like pornography, but I remember like when I... first sort of moved to Australia. My family's like, we moved from Canada, and I would have been like, we didn't have a place yet. I remember it was at my grandparents' house, and there was just like not even, I think it was just like Sports Illustrated magazines. Like my granddad had a bunch of Sports Illustrated magazines, and it was just like real like tight bikini kind of thing. And I remember just like when people were out of the house, just reading the shit out of that. And I definitely like wasn't
loose
like,
definition of reading, I would assume.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it wasn't like
I'm reading her tits.
Yeah, I can spell ass now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I wasn't at like actual wanking. Like I don't think I was wanking to that, but like definitely like very focused on that. You know, that kind of like
next time you get, like if you get caught ogling a woman, she's like, "Hey, stop staring at my tits. I was reading your breasts. I'm reading. I like to keep my vocabulary up." Boobs.
Sorry, full stops. Okay. Yeah. I don't think that's grammatically correct, but I like it.
Yeah, that was probably number one.
Come in, Brad, staff member who works here. Wait, do you want to say hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Bringing my socks in.
Bringing your socks in.
Oh, I reckon we can make use of those.
He doesn't understand that, but that's okay.
What I'm saying is I'm going to jerk off into your socks. Anyway, have a good shift, dude.
Don't be foul. You're at work.
You're so gross, mate. You got your work shirt
back out there. Thank you very much. Pour some fucking beers. Make me some fucking money, Brad.
No, he's a wonderful bloke. Yeah. So Sports Illustrated, that doesn't ever have nudity in it, does it?
No.
Oh, actually, no. Sorry, isn't there a? Oh, that might be. No, that's an ESPN thing. It's called the Body Issue. Have you seen that?
No.
And it's basically, it's just athletes and they do a naked shoot and it's kind of to accentuate the muscles and it's them doing their sport and you can see all of the thing. But it's like, I don't think many people are looking at this to be like, oh, look at the form of her, you know, cricket.
Shot put.
Yeah.
Oh, there's not many shot put people.
No, I was going to say. The shot puts go up. I'll take my clothes off. Oh, it's okay. We're going to go over that.
Actually.
We've got a photo shoot with the gymnast, actually. Yeah. The hammer throw lady's not getting the look in, I don't reckon.
Yeah. They're like just interested in the physical human form of like really specific type of sports.
Yeah. Only the hot sports, thanks.
Yeah. No luge. You read luge to not get a look in.
Luge is pretty hot. They're like all there's like real body suits anyway though. They're like
actually
you know
you're
what
right.
I mean?
I was trying to think of a weird sport, but you're right.
You'd
have a lot of core.
I feel like Winter Olympics is often the more horny events because they're like keeping warm, but they're like it's everything is skin tight. Like there's nothing loose in Winter Olympics for anyone.
Yeah, you're right. Except the snowboard people, they still get to be radical. That's what I like about like the snowboarding and the skateboarding now in the Olympics.
Yeah,
everything else is very like, you know, it's in our normal sport we dress like this, but we're representing our country here. So fucking
yeah.
But then the skateboarding, they're still just backwards hats. Yes, can't fucking horse doors.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. You know, everyone. Well, there's a bit of pushback when skateboarding went in because the purists like, oh, we can't. Like, you know, skateboarding's not a real sport. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, cunt. Have you ever seen rhythmic gymnastics?
Oh,
it's a fucking ribbon.
Yeah.
What are you
talking
about? Anyways, fuck that
for
sport.
Sure.
I always think it's funny though, like the skating in the Olympics, they're still wearing like just kind of baggy pants and like a t-shirt, just like shit skaters wear.
Yeah.
But there's still some like formal like Australian team designer has to design like a special uniform for just like their shitty jeans and sneakers that they're going to wear. Still got to represent the nation somehow.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Representing Australia, John Cruikshank.
I can imagine.
That'd be pretty fucking
they
sick.
They should let him like whip their tops off and have a bunch of fuck tattoos. And stuff. That'd be so good.
Yeah, everyone has the keys on a carabiner on the belt loop.
Yeah,
That's where they put the medal.
Yeah.
Skateboarding.
Yeah.
They just carabiner.
Olympical.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Sports Illustrated, first time feeling a little horny. And I would like to maybe cast your mind back to that feeling of getting a bit horny because we are about to dive into the horniest little mag this side of Caxton Street. Now, Jake, this magazine, we are getting back into the wonderful world of sex
with
Dr. Ignatius Jones.
Dr. Ignatius Jones.
Which was one of our probably most early episodes, and we haven't gotten to see Dr. Ignatius Jones since, have we?
No, I think Dr. Ignatius Jones was episode 2 or 3, or it was very early
on. And now we're on episode
38 or 39.
Yeah, so it's been quite a while. Right. But you'll see, just based on that picture, I hazard a guess he's not a real doctor. Because of his giant needle and his naked nurse assistant.
Yeah, yeah.
And the little skeleton.
Yeah,
pushing the jab, coercive grub.
How else would he get a skeleton in the background? That's what I want to say.
So, yeah, you're right.
You're officially a doctor. You've graduated. Here's your skeleton.
Your ceremonial and your skeleton.
Giant needle and the silver disc on your head. You wear that 24/7.
And also, I know we noticed this last time, but I've just noticed it again and it's still funny. He's injecting that giant needle into just the globe.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the planet Earth.
So he's gone to school. So diving back into the wonderful world of sex.
You gotta stick it in the North Pole, that goes through magma. Yeah.
By the way, I didn't need to see that picture to know that a man named Ignatius wasn't a real doctor. Like I knew that from the
So here we go. The Dr. Ignatius Jones, Wonderful World of Sex. The title of this article is Glory Be to Growler. Jap chaps worship at the temple of twat. Boom! Let's go.
Thank you very much. Is that a slur already?
Jap chaps? I don't think that's wrong.
Well, sorry. The first bit on its own, yes. But when you put chaps afterwards, makes it kind of cute.
You can't say Japanese, can you? So you got to say Jap chaps.
Easy P. Yeah, great.
Yeah. Japanese really? Worship at the temple of twatanese.
Oh, Jap chap. Fuck me.
Jap chap. I don't think Jap chap's wrong. Jap does. Yeah, it doesn't have good connotations.
Yeah, but you can
it?
Call the Japanese, like a Japanese Stratocaster, as Jap Strat. So I think it's, if they're shortening it, you can't. It's like saying Jew. If you put a bit of fucking steam behind it, no good. Yeah. But I think that's probably fine. It's not for us to say. I'm digging a hole. Say something.
Jew dudes worship the Temple of Smooth. So here we go. Diving in.
All right.
Ah. The mysteries of the Minge.
Oh, my favorite part of that is typing that at a keyboard is so funny. Like,
just realizing, wanting to go in a different direction and realizing there's actually a funny thing you can say to start the article.
Starting with a James Donald Forbes McCann. The mysteries of the Minge.
The mysteries of the Minge. And boy, they are mysterious.
No, aren't they ever?
Yeah. What's your biggest? what's the biggest what mystery most, for Minge for you, Jack?
What are you most mystified about with the Minge?
I mean, it's all a big mystery, you know. I don't fucking know.
I've only ever seen the front bit. You know what's going on all the way.
Yeah, yeah.
What are you hiding?
Yeah, I'm no Dr. Ignatius Jones, but I
don't be modest. Yeah. You're one skeleton away from operating. All right.
The mysteries of the Minge, readers. The wonders of the Waggy Woo.
No, it doesn't say that. The Waggy Woo.
The Waggy Woo.
This magazine is so fucking stupid. I was explaining
the Maggie Moo.
Explaining to Jack in the car, on the way over here, that it's they want to be filthy, but they're like, hey, we need to be soft core so that we can get this. So, you know, there's a certain amount of language, so they say things like Waggy Woo.
Waggy Woo.
Yeah. Fucked her in the Waggy
Woo. Wonders of the Waggy Woo. Anyway, it gives me a nice gooey feeling in the ghoulies. we're not going to get through this today. I'm looking dude, there is so much.
Ignatius, get it together.
So there are four columns, this one's like a half column. There are two half columns and then two full page ones. We are like 1/8 of the way through the first half column and it's already fucked.
Okay.
And I can see all the capitalized funny bits and they're funny. I'm just going to push through this because it's going to take us fucking ages.
Yeah.
Oh, it gives me a nice gooey feeling in the ghoulies knowing that avid pitcher fans are not the only bozos who bow low and worship that most awesome of organs and most stimulating of sights, the great gaping smoo.
So he's stoked that other people on Earth, other than the people who read this magazine, also like pussy. Is that what he's saying? Like,
the more the better.
I thought it was just us, guy. I thought it was just us at the magazine.
But I love it up there too. Yeah.
Other people are getting around this as well. This is pretty good.
You read about this?
Yeah. Word's getting around.
The great pern boom of 2002.
He takes a Japanese girl home. He's like, "Fuck, you got one." Yeah. I didn't realize it made it across the. I didn't realize it made it across the Tasman. Jesus Christ.
Oh no, fur-minded folk all over the globe have gone down on bended knees and praised Poontang. And none more fervently than our nippy mates in the land of the rising schlong. This is unbelievable stuff.
This is actually really good.
Yeah.
It's like Luke Heggie's written this. Like,
the land of the rising schlong.
Oh, that starts off, the next column starts off with some fun stuff. Here you go, Jack. You have a little read.
All right, I'm not a great reader. Where are we at?
Second column.
The happy Japanese, who are also known to worship giant dongers and perform mutual masturbation at their harvest rituals. Is that a thing they're known for?
I don't think that's
It's just sushi trying and that.
Right, yeah.
Oh, and katanas.
Yeah.
They're sick.
Yeah.
Big knife.
Yeah. Go on, sorry.
No, I just say it's interesting, like... It's like, you know, Japanese guys, oh, they're the guys who worship massive dongers, and they're just not an association I have.
Nintendo doesn't even get a look in.
Yeah, exactly.
Nah, Godzilla, nah. Oh, they wank? All of them get together and wank when they do the harvest ritual? Yeah. That's what we know them for.
So, mass mutual masturbation at their harvest ritual have not one, but two holy... Shmoo view ceremonies.
Ooh.
Two.
Two. Okay, the first dates back to the dawn of time. Gods and goddesses still roamed the mini golf course that would become Japan.
Okay, that's probably big.
That is like a guy like he's typing this, hasn't slept in days, he's just taken a bunch of prescription medication, he's just sort of like winging words, he's just mashing his hands against the keyboard, like, is this something?
The mini golf course that would one day become Japan. Like, that's a much nicer origin story than Australia's history, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They were just a mini golf course and now they're one of the most technologically advanced countries in the world.
What a way to brush over the brutal centuries of civil war that was forming Japan. But I didn't even get the mini golf course thing.
I don't get it at all.
No, it makes no sense at all. It's just it's truly just they're like, hey, you have to. People are only buying this to jerk off, and you have to fill a full page with text for no reason.
Word
just
count.
Put something in there.
They're like, you know, Tokyo. Yeah, it used to just be a big windmill. Par three.
Yeah. It was just the gods and goddesses in the harvest festival of Japan playing mini golf.
Godzilla had to put the ball in his ass and it would come out his mouth. Yeah.
Part two, hard. All right. It says here, Amaterasu, sun goddess and primeval top sort.
Sorry. Oh, fuck, I took a big mouthful.
Imagine getting horny for mythology.
Yeah, yeah.
Top sort. Big knockers on Hercules. No, that was a bloke, wasn't it? Who's the... on Aphrodite. Thank you. Edit point. Amaterasu, sun goddess and primeval top sort, got roundly shat off with her brother, who is also her husband, for sticking it up one of the other deities, who were also his sisters. Enthusiastic incest is not advised, Riedels. Fuck me. Did the aircon just die?
It just made some weird noise or something.
Great. I didn't think it was working anyway. Enthusiastic incest is not advised, readers, not unless you're immortal. Okay. It says, anyway, Amaterasu was so pissed off with her brother, she went and hid in a cave. As she was the sun... The world was plunged into bastard.
Where's this going?
I don't know. They're just going.
This has taken such a huge left turn into nothing.
For anyone to have read this like legitimately without trying to be funny, it's just like a teenager who has jerked off like thousands of times to the same magazine. Like they've gone through every picture so many times, and now they're like, I guess I'll read whatever the fuck this is about Japanese mythology now.
Man,
like,
I don't think this has ever been read.
Yeah,
like, no one has ever read this. This is the first time this is ever being read. I reckon it's fucking.
I reckon though, some of the students at Cambridge Medical School would have gone through this. I mean, it's Dr. Ignatius Jones, one of the greats.
Peer reviewed. This is. It says
only slightly more credibility than Dr. Phil.
So all right. So Amaterasu, I'm trying to follow here. So Amaterasu, sun god, she was pissed off with her brother for porking someone else, right? Now, she was the sun, the world... She went and hid in a cave. So she's the sun. The world was plunged in a bastard darkness. And the rest of the god thingies gathered outside the cave and begged her to come out.
Yep.
Quote, you can all go frig, she suggested, which freaked them no end and caused much consternation. That's until Ama no Uzume, whose name means my face has worn out two bodies and was basically the ugliest slag in heaven, had an idea. I'd had such high hopes for this article. She did a slow strip in front of the others and climaxed by showing her grizzled old twat to the groaning throng.
To the groaning throng?
Yeah. Of people. So she's gone, right. She did a slow strip, climax showing a grizzled old twat to the groaning throng.
She climaxed just because she showed a...
I guess so.
Sick.
Nice for some. This caused such hysterical laughter that Amaterasu came out to see what the hell was going on. Meaning the sun shone once more and everyone lived happily ever after.
Wait on. So, hang on. So, are you saying that this Japanese myth is someone was pissed off, made the world dark, someone got their puss out, showed it. It was so funny that the lights came back on. Yeah.
Next time, don't ring Energex. Next time the blackout's on, show someone your mutt.
Yeah.
If they giggle, lights come back.
Remember when Thomas Edison first got his cock out?
I can't wait to just like outside of comedy, just like earnestly have a conversation with a Japanese person and just like try and explain all this. Like, so is that true? There's someone had a pussy so wacky that it was that funny that the world came back to life. Is that true?
Yeah. Hey, if you could stop wanking with all your friends over there and worshiping that big dong.
Yeah, I know you're probably busy at your harvest festival worshiping the massive dong. But
I've got a couple of questions for you, Katsu. Fucking hell. Oh, okay, Amaterasu. I will just quickly look this up. I'm conscious of time. Right. Okay, so this is a real myth. You go from anywhere, anytime, or whatever it is.
That is so. I just can't believe that. That is just so funny. Everything about this is just really trivialized Japanese culture in such a hilarious way. Mini golf, rooting, wanking each other, get your pussy out, the lights back on. Cool.
What was the name of the other one? The one that showed a pussy.
The one that.
Oh wait. Here we go.
Amanozume.
Yeah. Amanozume answered that they were celebrating because another girl greater than her period appeared. Slid the bowl out. There is... Okay. Can I read what Wikipedia has on this?
So this would be the sensible version of what we've just read.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Inside the cave, Amaterasu is surprised that the gods should show such mirth in her absence. Amanozume answered that they were celebrating because another god greater than her had appeared. Curious, Amaterasu slid the boulder blocking the cave's entrance and peeked out, at which Amano Kayane and Furudama brought out the mirror and held it before her. As Amaterasu, struck by her own reflection, apparently thinking it to be the deity Amanozume spoke of, approached the mirror, so-and-so, took out a hand, pulled it out of the cave, immediately sealed with a straw rope, preventing him from going back inside. So at no point did anyone get their pussy out.
To be honest, though, I didn't think they were telling this in the way it happened.
Yeah, but why bother even going down that route?
Because it's funny to make just like Japanese people. Just imagine like this flipped. Like, imagine there's like a Japanese magazine, and it's like, and Jesus was sucking off all Judaism. Like, how insane that would be! Like,
he had to carry his own dick up.
Mary Magdalene got out a pussy, and everyone was laughing so much. It was like that. It would be the craziest.
Jesus was a gigolo.
Yeah,
I'm not joining in on any of this blasphemy. But go on.
Yeah, walked on piss.
I'm not laughing because that's anyway. Not funny. I'm a good boy. Go on.
Turn water into cum.
Not laughing.
Just eat the body at cross.
Not laughing.
No, you don't like that?
No. Okay. I'm going to heaven. So, definitely not. Imagine if that's the one they get you for.
Yeah.
Not any of the other stuff. Not how I treat people. Yeah. Like, you laughed at a Jesus cum joke.
But that's turning water into cum is actually so funny because you would have to still reluctantly accept that it is a miracle. You'd still have to be like, well, fucking hell, I guess you are the son of God, clearly. I'm not stoked that you're doing this, but you clearly are magic.
Also,
this college years.
Also, we all do that. It just takes like 8 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Are you fucking kidding me? I did that this morning. Go on.
Don't come into water, mate. Then I'll be impressed.
Yeah.
Well, if you... And then... I'm not a scientist.
Just because you dilute it doesn't mean it's water again, mate.
All right.
Anyway... Oh, that's the first one. Anyway, once a year, they hold the Utterly Champion Kagura Festival. That's really weirdly written. Utterly Champion Kagura Festival in order to commemorate Old Front Bum's features hero striptease. Old Front Bum.
like a deity they worship.
Yeah.
Culturally significant. Yeah. Old Front Bum. My Front Bum up there.
Yeah. Yeah, go to Thailand, see the Buddhas. Go to Japan, see Old Front Bum. Anyway, so they commemorate Old Front Bum. Only instead of an old, ugly relic, the Smu owner is a gorgeous young priestess whose dance gets wilder and wilder until she's stark naked and her sacred snatch is flashing at the hundreds of excited worshippers. Beat Sunday school.
That's an audible tongue out. Hello.
Over the years, the Kagura has evolved into an even greater... Oh, to an even championer celebration of the slime trench.
Go on.
I love Nickelodeon. The Takadashi ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know about that? You know a lot about Japanese culture?
I know all about it, mate.
You know about the Takadashi ceremony?
Yeah.
What's that?
Oh, it's the ritual where they place gifts at the base of the giant Smu.
Okay. The Takadashi is more champion because it's been stripped of all religious trappings and takes place nightly in the notorious poon parlors of Tokyo and Yokohama. So just go into the broth.
Yeah. This is something that it sounds very Australian culture, but I love that Japanese seem to have dressed it up and gone, this is religiously significant, this is culturally significant.
Yeah,
we're
going
to go out to the brothel, okay? And we need to do this to save our culture. We're also going to go punt for a bit
and
have some beers with the boys. But this is our sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's like the equivalent of like playing two up for them. It's just like, today's the day we get to do it. You
know? This is the day. Look, we don't like it, but we're going to go...
Yeah.
You know, to the knock shop.
In the middle of a full frontal girly show, the lights will suddenly go down and four... Oh, I know how they get the lights back on. I know where this is going. The lights will go down and four hot Jap sheilas in antique cozies.
Fuck!
All right.
Come on, Ignatius.
I'd love that. Four hot Jap sheilas in antique cozies. I shouldn't have said it again.
Double dose.
In antique cozies, scuttle onto the stage like horny, like horny crustacean. Oh, crabs got crabs. They bend back as far as they can, lift up their skirts, and reveal that they're not wearing any panties.
I'm still thinking about the scuttling. Like, I don't know why they
I don't want
to be like horny crustaceans specifically.
Like, it just really ruins the whole thing. It's like, oh, these gorgeous young, they're scantily clad and just scuttling around.
Yeah.
Well, look at the pins on her. Just scuttled her way over. Give me a big kiss on the lips. Come on, scuttle away. You scuttle your way upstairs, slip into something more comfortable. Go on.
Like a new shell.
Like a new...
Cut your arm off, it grows back.
Yeah.
So they're not wearing any panties. That's not all they reveal. Shoving their shag holes right into the audience's faces. They even hand out flashlights and magnifying glasses. The guys can get a really intimate scroot.
Screw and root on the other.
No, not screw on root. S-C-R-U-T-E. A good look.
Like inscrutable? Inscrute?
I don't know, mate. Word.
I don't know how... Like, if I was at, like, some kind of strip show or, like, sex thing or whatever this is, and I didn't really know what was happening, and they just started handing out magnifying glasses, I don't know how I would react to that. Like, I don't know. Is this a
weird accessory?
Is this sexy or something? Like, I don't know.
Getting a lap dance, being like, I'm getting my fucking money's worth.
Yeah. Like,
just really peeking in, yeah?
Yeah.
Counting the bumps around the areola.
I feel like...
2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Yeah, I feel like looking at women in like actual size is good enough for me. Like, I don't need to...
Bro, you've never put one under a
magnifying
glass?
Yeah, I haven't used any telescopes or magnifying glasses.
Well, mate, they're trying to solve the mysteries of the Minch.
Oh, of course.
The shag hole. That, by the way, that's the worst thing I've heard.
Shag hole?
That is the counter opposite. That's the yin to full mongrel's yang. When I heard going full mongrel for an erection, I'm like, that's the best thing.
Yeah. But
calling a vagina a shag hole, that's the worst thing I've ever heard, apart from Jap Sheilas. Go on.
Oh, there's a good one coming up soon.
Oh, no.
They even scuttle from viewer to viewer to give every paying bozo his face full of frot fur. Frot?
Frot.
Never heard frot before. Anyway, last
they're
paragraph.
Still scuttling. They haven't stopped scuttling this whole time.
They're committed. They're committed to the bit. If you're going to be a crab, be
ladies.
A crab.
Sorry, go on.
Stand up on their hind legs. I'm paid for a crab with tits.
Where's the shell? Yeah. You didn't even paint them red this year.
I went to the sacred religious festival. It was fucked. No magnifying glasses, no scuttling. It's like, what's the point? Why bother with tradition at this point? If we're not going to...
I like how they keep him in the tank so you can see him before you're ready. It's just like a Japanese shield. Ah, fuck.
Yeah, that's how they sound. Oh, fucking hell, I'm Japanese.
You just can't ever been to Tokyo before?
Fucking hell.
Tokyo with an A.
Tokyo? T-O-C-K-Y-A. Tokyo. Ever been, cut?
Last paragraph. The Japanese reckon the kagura symbolizes how light will shine once more in the great darkness, while the togedashi shines light on the mysterious gate of life. But I reckon it's just an excuse to take a close look at some pussy. Boom! Probably one of my favorite articles we've had for a while.
That is a great article.
Great article.
Just.
Stiffy ratings, 1 to 10.
I'm at a 10. That was fucking horse shit.
I'm at a 10. That was great. I love
that. I really couldn't
follow that. That took so many twists and turns.
Remember how they lied about Japanese mythology for a bit? Just to make up the word
for a bit, for the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I like just like picturing just this sort of like weird copywriter guy who his whole skill set is just his like different words for vagina that he can make up on the fly with kind of like weird alliteration and stuff. Like that's...
What, the wacky word?
The whole... Exactly, yeah. Like, oh, there were so many different... It was great.
It's pretty amazing how many they've come up with because like we obviously get to hear, you know, smoo, minge, moot, all that pretty often. But I would say every time Moyu gets talked about, there is a new thing in there.
Can you imagine writing that and not laughing? Like just being like, just tired. It's just your day job. You're just like punching it out. Like, oh yeah, willy woo, the front. But like just, it just being this chore to write this insane article.
You're trying to think of like the last, you need one more funny description for the word dick.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, Johnson, I need this by the afternoon. He's like, oh, Johnson, my name. Put that down. Done. There you go. Great. Bit of fun.
Very funny. Very funny. It also has here is a quick... there's someone who's got a magnifying glass. It's a oriental Sheila here. Is that offensive?
It's better if you can have a three-letter word to describe her.
Yeah, you...
She.
She's looking through a magnifying glass. Not magnifying. It was a microscope. And it says the caption, as in so many other areas of life, the Japanese lead the world in smoo gazing. Nice little pastime. Anyways, Jack, thank you very much for being part of this podcast.
Oh, no, this was a lot of fun. Honestly, like, you're like, hey, do you want to do the pod? And I just feel like I assumed it was going to be just like some... Just like the thing you do, like every time we gotta like talk about the like comedy and the road stories or whatever the fuck like those podcasts are, and I was like, all right, like, that's fine. But then you're like, yeah, we read weird pornos from the '90s. I was like, oh, that's way way better. I'm way more excited about that.
So, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you got your little rocks off with us today.
Exactly. And it's the best thing is that you just don't have to even think of any content because it's all there. You just have to just take the piss out. They do half the work. They do more than half the work. 75% of this content is done.
Yeah, I feel like Ignatius needs to be getting some, like, if you guys aren't making money on the pod, you got to cut in Ignatius because he's doing the heavy lifting
on
this.
Prison,
Ignatius wants some of our sweet, sweet manscaped money, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll come over and shave his ball sack for him. when are we going to get manscaped?
Oh, it's got to be soon.
Yeah.
We're the only podcast that's talking about Bush so fucking...
Yeah, well, maybe I'll approach them. I got it on the last podcast I made. And
let's get some sponsors.
Got any money, but boy, is my dick tidy.
I actually love a trimmer. So
they're fucking expensive.
Yeah, if we can get that, I'd be happy with that.
But I just mainly, I use it on my face.
Yeah, that's what I want to use it for. Oh, and my big hairy cock.
All right, we better wrap it up. Jack, what do you got to plug for all our tens of Melbourne listeners?
Well, wherever you live, just check out my YouTube channel. Just search Jack Drews. I've been doing a lot of sketches and stuff last few months, and I'll put out my stand-up special on there in the next few months as well. So check that out, would be my big plug.
Right, and just before we started recording, you said to us as well that you were going to make just a big sketch based on whatever we talked about. So can't wait for the big Japanese one.
I get to play Amaterasu.
I want to be the big moon.
Come to my show at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. It's bring your magnifying glass, and it's just going to be bring your flashlight. Get ready for some scuttling. That's all I got to say.
Very good.
Cairns people, this will be coming out tomorrow. If you're in Cairns, Monday night, you are going to be there.
I'll be there, actually. Yeah, if you're listening to this and it's Sunday and you're in Cairns, then you should come to Source Brewing Co. You've only got a couple of hours by the time this is up. And come along and for Go Nuts for Kappa, the Cairns one, which is a fundraiser for Nick Kappa, which we've mentioned in the last couple of episodes. We're about to kick off his one in Brisbane in 63 minutes' time.
Great.
It's going to be very fun, and we'll be there at Laughing Heart Comedy, Three Wolves, on Monday night as well.
Both selling very well, so you fucking want to get a move on.
You can come and look at me and say how bloody good you are, Jakey boy, and shake my hand, and then we'll part ways and not talk about it. Anyways, Peter, why don't you tell the people what we're doing in Brisbane here?
Oh, Brisbane, things are happening. Everything's going great at Good Chat Comedy Club. Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, the home of independent comedy in Brisbane. Always a good time. I've been here four nights this week, and it's been fucking terrific every single night, Jakey.
Thank you.
You run a great operation here, and if you've never been to Good Chat Comedy Club, firstly, let me say you're a fucking idiot. Secondly, change your tune, get on down every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much.
Shit.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I've just done a cunt.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.